Support for Tested comes from Duke Health, reminding listeners that COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and can protect individuals and others from the virus. Together, communities can end this pandemic. Find sites for a free vaccine at DukeHealth.org.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Anissa Khalifa.
And I'm Jason DeBruin.
Jason, we're in our third year of dealing with COVID, and it's pretty clear a lot of people are ready to get back to feeling normal.
Yeah, whatever normal means now, right? Virus-related restrictions are dropping around the country. Schools, planes, a lot of different places. But we are here today to talk about folks whose normal means dealing with the devastating effects of long COVID.
Around 1 million Americans lost their lives to COVID these last 2 years. For a lot of the survivors, though, this means continued suffering. We're going to meet some of these survivors today.
I tested positive, and I thought, just like everyone else, you know, if I get it, I'll deal with it, and it'd be over in, you know, 14 days of quarantine, it'd be over with, I'll be done, and back to my normal life.
That's Justin Foster, a former Clemson football player who came down with COVID in June of 2020. He said that he had a relatively mild case of the virus, and he just spent most of quarantine sleeping, and after 14 days, the doctor told him he could play again. And really, all he felt was a lingering absence of taste and smell.
I started back with going to football. I would go, and we had like a suggested workout posted. Wasn't nothing too major. It was just, you know, like 10 runs and some lifting. And I started to do the workouts, and I realized, you know, before COVID hit, I mean, we had just finished, like, I think we were in the middle of spring ball, and I was in really good shape. And a normal run session for us would be at least, you know, 17 to 20 something runs. And I would do 4 or 5, and I was just like winded, like to the point where I was like, all right, I need my inhaler. I need to sit down. I kept trying to push myself. It was kind of like a thing of like, maybe I'm out of shape. So I started to push myself. Doctors wanted to push me and see what I could do. And got to a point where I was just getting so fatigued, and I just didn't feel good after doing runs, that they stopped me, obviously, because my heart rate was really high and things like that. So they stopped me, and then we started our whole, I guess, as I call it, you know, our tour on doctors.
Justin went to a ton of doctors in South Carolina, and he heard people say the term long haul, but he didn't know that's what he had until he got to Duke and he had an official diagnosis.
I'll probably say, I think it was in January. So almost getting close on a year. If it wasn't a year, it was close on a year that I finally realized that was what I was dealing with. At the time, I was very frustrated. You know, I'll go to a doctor to say, take this medicine for 2 or 3 weeks and I'll feel better. And at the time, I put my time limit. If you say 3 weeks, you say 2 weeks, or if you say a day, like in my head, like I'm programmed every single day. Like I'm like, all right, I'm going to be better on this day, or start to at least feel better. And then sometimes I would just feel worse.
I can imagine that would have to be difficult, especially for an athlete that's this regimented and sort of knows exactly what they want to do next. And now there's just this big question mark every single day.
Yeah. He told me that right after his initial bout of COVID-19, he went from getting up at 5:30 a.m. every morning, staying busy with school, football, his social life, to like 10 or 11 at night, to just having a hard time waking up before 11 and needing naps to get through the day.
I was just always fatigued all the time. When I would get fatigued and I'm trying to do something to push myself, my heart rate would elevate. And sometimes my heart rate, when I was at football, my heart rate reached in the 200s a couple of different times. No reason why, other than every doctor, I mean, we did all the heart studies and all that, and the only thing they can say was COVID. And it wasn't like I was doing like a physical activity, running around or doing anything. I could be sitting still, woke up out of bed and be sitting still, and it would just be at 200 and something, or close to 200. Where I am now is I get fatigued sometimes, Not all the time. I kind of set a limit on how far I can push myself daily with my daily activities and things like that. And the main thing that bothers my fatigue in my everyday life, if I get up in the morning and work out, depending on how hard I push myself. If I push myself really, really hard, like I'm still playing football, that will lead to me being very fatigued all day long.
Long COVID forced Justin to retire mid-season in 2021. He now works in his dad's trucking business, but even the transition to that less physically demanding work wasn't easy.
So when I first left football, I went to work for my father, and it was difficult to do things, just everyday activities. With his trucks, you know, I couldn't help him do things he needed to do. If it was getting in and out of a truck to service it or to drive or whatever, like I would just be so fatigued all the time that I just couldn't do much at all. Another thing is, like, I have allergies and asthma, so that didn't help with the whole situation. So if it was pollen outside, if it was anything, a dust of stuff just blows through the air and I inhale it, it just takes my breath away, and to the point where I have to go to use my inhaler, have to go rest, maybe a breathing treatment, and then, like, I'm done for the day and I'm wheezing, and it, that could last for 2 or 3 days. I'm only 23, and I've never had an illness that lingered on for so long that I couldn't take a medicine or couldn't go do therapy or something to treat it where it wouldn't affect my everyday life. And for me, this is the first thing that has stopped me from playing sports from a kid. I never really had any major injuries or anything like that, but this is the first, like, thing that's came up. And most people look at, okay, like, oh, you stopped playing sports because of an ACL, or you know, you just aged out, and it's just like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm done, I'm ready to do something else. Mine was because COVID, and I didn't really never expect that.
When Justin got sick, it was pretty early in the pandemic, and at the time, we didn't really have a lot of knowledge about what COVID was doing to our bodies, what its long-term impact was going to be. But you've been talking to a lot of doctors about this for the last couple of years. What have they been saying about how our understanding of COVID has evolved?
Yeah, so what's really interesting about this is that obviously the symptoms from long COVID specifically are new. But a lot of these symptoms, like fatigue or what they call even like brain fog, you know, these are not new. And mm-hmm. So you have doctors who are in these fields and have been for sometimes decades, who are just sliding over into these new clinics, but sort of building on this history of research and knowledge that they've already gained. So that's somebody like, for instance, Dr. John Barata. He's at the UNC COVID Recovery Clinic. And he told me that long COVID specifically is pretty difficult to quantify.
The best estimates suggest that 10 to 30% of COVID-19 survivors will experience some degree of long COVID. Symptoms can vary widely, but the most common symptoms that we see include persisting fatigue, respiratory difficulties such as shortness of breath, brain fog, including memory and attention problems, pain, and also anxiety and depression.
Yeah, I definitely recognize some of those from Justin's experience.
Right, and doctors like Dr. Barata have been, you know, working with, again, like mono or Lyme disease, these sort of diseases that have a long tail of really long symptoms, and they can even develop into what's called a post-viral syndrome, and that's something that, unfortunately, a lot of people are having to deal with.
The medical community is still doing a lot of research and investigation on what is causing long COVID as a syndrome. There are a number of different theories, including a hyperactive immune response, an inflammatory process, clotting, and other potential causes have been proposed. And in reality, there are probably a variety of different types of causes that are contributing to long COVID among the population, but also potentially even in one person, there could be multiple factors going on.
So I wonder, like, after 2 years, given the stories of the people that we've talked to, have doctors even been able to find effective treatments for long COVID?
This is something that has really frustrated them because, of course, they do have treatments for the symptoms, but unfortunately, treating the symptoms is never as good as actually treating the cause. And so there's still a lot that they're having to learn about trying to treat actual long COVID, so to speak.
We also instruct patients on how to manage their energy expenditure. So a lot of people with fatigue after COVID have a limited amount of energy that they can use on a daily basis. We kind of think of it like a bank account, and that's how we instruct them. If they have a certain amount of money coming into this energy bank account, say $100 of energy every day, they have to budget their energy expenditures throughout the day. They can't overspend early in the day because it's going to lead them to become essentially bankrupt later in the day. And likewise, if they're going to have a big activity on a certain day, they may need to bank some energy in the days preceding so that they're able to manage on that bigger day.
This is what Justin, the Clemson football player, was describing, how he has to be careful not to overdo it even now, almost 2 years after he first got sick. I met another long COVID sufferer who told me the same thing, Eleanor Spicer Rice. She says exercising just once can put her in bed for a week. Eleanor is a writer who lives in Raleigh. Her son caught COVID after a visit to the emergency room last August.
Being vaccinated and having young children, I did nothing to isolate myself from them at all. And I tested positive. And I had 4 days of symptoms, and it was not fun. I was very tired and very achy, had really bad headaches, but I didn't have any respiratory symptoms or anything like that. So that was my COVID experience. It wasn't terrible. After a week, I was testing negative, but then I didn't get better in some ways. It just started to seem like something wasn't right. I couldn't breathe. Now, when I had COVID and I was testing positive for COVID, I was breathing fine, but I would walk a few steps and it was like I couldn't breathe well. A parent texted me when I was not getting better, and people who had gotten COVID around the time were fine. And she said, "Are you one of those long haulers?" And I'd never heard of that before, and I thought she was, accusing me of something. And I was like, "I'm testing negative. I don't have COVID anymore," you know. Yeah. So about October, that's when it started to get really weird. I started to realize there was stuff that was just kind of off with my brain. My attention and my memory were really weird. I read a lot of scientific papers for work, and I couldn't remember one sentence to the next. I couldn't understand what I was reading. I couldn't remember things that people had told me or days that had happened or things that I'd done. I went to my friend's house and she said, "Let's listen to that great record that we listened to on Friday." This was Monday. I don't remember listening to a record. I didn't remember the band. I'd never heard any of the songs before in my life. And she said that we had been working together the day before or a few days before, and we really loved it and we listened to it together. And that can really mess with you.
So Eleanor told me that for her, long COVID mostly manifests in her brain. And it makes just the most basic tasks sometimes seem impossible.
This is something that Dr. Barata specifically talked about. He said that, you know, a lot of patients experience brain fog, and that really can be difficult to quantify. And even more frustratingly, it's difficult for other people to recognize these symptoms in people who are suffering from long COVID.
Yeah, exactly. It almost warps their sense of reality. So Eleanor was telling me a story about how she went to the grocery store with a list that her friend had given her of things that she wanted her to buy. And she was like, "Well, this is strange. The store doesn't even have these items, but my friend, you know, sent me here." And she talked to somebody who worked at the grocery store, and she's like, "Oh, those aren't even the things that are on the page." So, and another thing she was telling me, which she said was really scary, is that she stopped driving because she couldn't even trust the signals that her brain was sending her about what was happening in the world around her.
I thought that the world was having this terrible road rage. I'm a calm driver. But people were honking their horns a lot. And I was giving my children talks like, do you see that? Now, that person is upset. They're in such a hurry. But really, you know, just take, you know, I thought that it was the other people. And of course, it was me. I don't ride with adults very often. But then I had my husband was a passenger in the car one time. I don't drive much. I live in a walkable neighborhood. And my father was a passenger in the car one time. And both times I was driving through red lights and stopping at green lights.
Oh, my goodness.
And in my eyes, it looked like the green light was lit and the red light was lit. You know, so it was me, as usual, it was me. You know, I became very afraid to take my children anywhere or to for other people on the road. My ability to plan has been completely erased. My ability to make lists has gone away. I can't follow recipes very well sometimes, and I can't improvise. Like, I cannot follow processes.
As a scientist, I can imagine that must be so, like, discombobulating.
It's very discombobulating as somebody who just wants to know what's wrong with her. And there's so many symptoms. Like, they've done a study about, you know, long COVID symptoms, and people have reported more than 200 different symptoms for long COVID.
Wow.
And if I sat here and read you my list of symptoms, I told you I had my husband help me write my symptoms down today. It's 4 pages long because my arm goes numb. The back of my head goes numb. My eyeball shape changed for a week. Apparently it affects your capillaries, and my contact lenses were falling out for about 2 weeks. I had to get special contacts that would cling to my eyes in a different way. Then it went back to normal. It's enough weird symptoms that you can start to think that you're losing your mind. And you also start to self-evaluate a lot. So then you start to wonder if you're imagining things. So you have to rely on people outside to tell you whether or not you're imagining things.
Eleanor was really passionate about sharing her story with us because she says that she's become almost an evangelist to tell people about long COVID. And everywhere she goes, she basically starts telling people, like, if she goes to the park, she'll tell them, oh, I have long COVID, here are my symptoms. Or she'll go to the grocery store, she'll tell people. Because she says that so many people are suffering from this and they don't even realize that that's what's going on. And often when she tells them, they actually will just start crying because they recognize that and they're also going through the same thing.
There is a lack of infrastructure, and there is a disbelief that a lot of people are facing when they go to get help for this from their friends or from their medical providers or from their home with chronic illnesses. It has been for me. It's everybody's got to help. You can't just do it by yourself. You just can't. You need people to believe you, and you need people to step in when these things are affecting you. If someone is to have long COVID, I am the person, the best person to get it, because I have a husband who will take over for me at home. I have a job where I have a partner who takes over my work for me, and I don't have to work 8 hours a day. I don't have to go in 8 hours a day. I have a whole network of people around me. I have a great medical insurance. I can try stuff out. When I went to the long COVID clinic, I have what's called moderate long COVID. I'm a moderate case, and I'm questioning my sanity every day. They told me there that there are people who the only thing they can do is brush their teeth. That is all they can do in a day because they cannot move from one place to another. There are people who go to the grocery store and they have to call for help because they don't know how to get home. They don't know how to pick up their children from school. They can't remember how to get places. There are single parents. There are people who have to go to work every single day for more than 8-hour work days and then come home and take care of their house while at the same time not having the functioning to do this stuff. Or having this network of people who just swoop in and take care of you.
Justin also mentioned that as a Clemson football player, he had unlimited access to medical care through his athletic program. But as he pointed out, and as Eleanor also pointed out, there are a lot of people who are not that privileged. And it's not something that's unique to long COVID sufferers. You know, a lot of people with chronic illnesses and disabilities just kind of fall through the cracks of the system and they just can't get access to the care that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Barata said that long COVID comes with a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, even if you do have pretty decent medical coverage, which comes on top, obviously, of the financial strain people are already feeling because they really can't work much or in some cases even at all.
So this really impacts their day-to-day abilities to pay bills, but also can be a challenge when they're needing to undergo substantial medical evaluation and treatments. People with long COVID would qualify for medical leave under the FMLA, which is a federal benefit that's provided under many employers. Also, people who have disability insurance should be able to qualify for disability coverage. However, in my experience, it can sometimes be challenging in getting those benefits approved. There can be some hurdles and back and forth in order to get it approved for certain patients.
So both Justin and Eleanor are doing a lot better today than when they first realized that they had long COVID. But I wonder if they're facing a lifetime of these symptoms. It doesn't seem like there's a clear end date for how long COVID lasts. What are doctors saying about how patients can manage the condition? Is there a hope for recovery for them?
So the short answer is yes. And that's maybe a positive to take away from this discussion that we're having. I spoke to doctors Loretta Quay and Coral Giovacchini, who are pulmonologists at Duke Health and have been working with long COVID patients for a while now. They tell me that it's also been frustrating to them because they're having a hard time figuring out what's wrong with people given the diversity of symptoms. And of course, you know, although these post-viral symptoms aren't really anything new, there is one thing that has surprised pretty much every doctor that I spoke with. What they say is that, you know, the severity of your long-term symptoms are not dependent on the severity of your initial infection.
As we saw with both Eleanor and Justin.
Right, exactly. But to your question about recovery, here's Dr. Giovacchini.
The vast majority of these patients do recover. And again, something that's reassuring is that a lot of the symptoms that we do see, even though we don't necessarily know exactly what's driving them, are symptoms that are treatable through methods that we treat other similar diseases. And so we can help patients symptomatically through a lot of this as this as the long COVID symptoms progress or last for them and ultimately head toward a place of recovery.
More importantly, both doctors stress the best way to avoid long COVID is to avoid COVID. Dr. Quay says vaccination is still our most powerful tool.
I think in North Carolina, only about 63% of the population is vaccinated. And I would encourage people to get vaccinated because, as we said earlier, this is one of the things that you can help to reduce the prevalence of this within the community. So it's important to get vaccinated, to get boosted, and to think about using a mask in situations where you do not know the status of others.
Justin and Eleanor have had a challenging journey towards recovery, and they'll tell you, the future still feels uncertain.
When it was first explained to me, I was kind of like, nah, I don't have that. Like, I'm good. Like, I might have it, but I don't have it. Like, in my head, I didn't want to admit it because when they start talking about it, and I'm like, okay, well, how long does this last? And it's like,
scary.
We don't have a timeline. It was like, we don't really have a timeline, like maybe a couple months or a couple years or a lifetime. And it's like, okay. So time was the biggest thing that I personally feel like helped me. And trying to just ease my mind and not stress myself out really helped out. And then kind of just, you know, playing the cards that were dealt to me. And from there, I mean, I don't think these things are going to go away. I probably will deal with this for the rest of my life. But just adapting to it, being okay with it and accepting it is the best advice I can give to someone, and figure out how you can adapt and change your life to get back close to normal as possible. Because when I was at Duke, the biggest thing that was told to me was I may get back to normal, I may not. This may be me for the rest of my life. and you don't know what that means.
What it's like for me right now is that you're running across a lake on skipping stones, and there are stones that are missing and you don't know where they are, and you can fall in at any minute. So they'll be, I'm fine and fine and fine, and then all of a sudden I'll have a fever and I can't speak. Or I'm fine and fine and fine, and all of a sudden somebody will ask me who my best friend in high school was, and I can't remember her name, and I can't remember that I had friends, and I can't remember high school. So that's where I am at this point. Before, there were no skipping stones at all. I was just floating around in this blackness and didn't know how to get out. So yes, I am getting better. I'm not better, and I will hopefully continue to get better.
That's all for this episode of Test It. I'm Jason DeBruin.
I'm Anissa Khalifa. Our editor is Dave DeWitt. Thanks for listening.